Oh, not really? How about now? Better? Cool. Well, good morning. For those who don't know me, my name is Christian, and I'm one of the interns here at the Bible College and the church. I come from Palm Springs, California, and that's where I live. I'm really nervous right now, so... But I'll be okay. I'm a recent graduate from the Bible College in Marietta. I graduated in May, and the Lord opened the door for me to come out here to Spain, even though it was really, 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 really rough. But He provided, and it's been a pleasure to be out here, not only with the students, but with each one of you, getting to know each one of you. And I look forward to working with you guys for as long as I'm here, if it's for another semester or however long the Lord wants me to be here. So this morning, I want you guys to turn with me to Daniel chapter 6. And let's pray before we get into it. Father, we thank you this morning just for this day that you've blessed us with. We thank you just for the promise that you've given us, Lord, of life after this life. We thank you for your son and the sacrifice he made for each one of us. And I know it means so much to each one of us, Lord. And we just thank you. I pray that you just be with us this morning. Open our ears and our hearts and let us be receptive to what you want to say this morning, Lord. And I pray that you just calm my nerves and just be not just with me, but with each one of us this morning, and just allow us to receive your word just openly this morning. So we thank you so much. We love you this morning and we praise you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning I want us to look at the life of Daniel, and I want us to look at three areas in Daniel's life. And we're going to use chapter 6 as our guideline. Now I'm positive that there's more than three areas we can look at in the life of Daniel, but for the sake of time, I want us to really focus in on these three things that Daniel portrays and leads by example. And in Daniel chapter 6, we all know, we have the famous story of the lion's den and Daniel being thrown in, but I don't really want to focus so much in on that, but I want us to focus in on just his life and these three areas that he portrays for us. And the first thing I want us to look at is that Daniel was someone of good testimony. He was a person of good example. And we can read this in verses 3 and 4 of chapter 6 if you want to read with me. This is what it says. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. Verse 4. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. So from reading these two verses, we can automatically see that Daniel lived a good testimony. He lived a life of good example. There was no fault found in Daniel. And if you've had the chance to study through the book of Daniel, you'll notice that nothing bad is mentioned at all of Daniel. You find no error in the life of Daniel. And the same thing we see with Joseph in Genesis. You read of his life and you don't see any error in his life. And we also read that in the life of Job. Job was a man who feared God and shunned evil. But we see why it is that Daniel, they could find no fault in the life of Daniel. And it's in verse 4. And it reads, because he was faithful. You see, Daniel was faultless because he was faithful. Now, I am not saying that we're all going to live a perfect life or that I'm perfect, but we all know that it's possible to live a good testimony, a life of good example with the help of the Holy Spirit. You know, it is possible to live a good testimony with the help of God. And I want you guys to turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4, but keep a hand in Daniel chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 4, go to verse 12. This is what Paul has to say to young Timothy. He says, let no one despise your youth, but be what? An example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And I want us to stay on just this verse forbidden. I want us to break down each one of these areas. Paul first tells Timothy to be an example. Now, the word example in the Greek here literally refers to a visible mark or impression made by a stroke or blows from an instrument or object. What is left after the stroke or blows is called a print, impression, or a figure. This Greek word here, for example, Peter uses it in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3, that reads like this: "Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." Paul here calls Timothy to be an example to the believers, and he calls us to be examples as well. And we can also apply this not just to those inside the church, but outside the church. This world lacks example, a good example. And the Lord has called us out of this world, but also placed us in this world to be an example, to be a light to such a dark world. Albert Einstein said this: "Example isn't another way to teach. It is the only way." You know, Leonard Ravenhill said, "We don't need a new definition of a Christian, but a new demonstration." We need to be examples of what it is to be a Christian in this world, because this world lacks a good example. They think of Christian, they think of something else that's not it, that's not right. So Paul calls us to be an example. Then Paul goes on and tells Timothy to what to be an example in. And the first thing is to be an example in word. Now, this just isn't referring to the biblical word, but it is also referring to our conversation. You know, how it is that we talk to one another. Do you talk in a crude way? You know, how's your manner of speech? Have you talked in a way already that is unpleasing to the Lord? Do you talk a certain way when you're in the church, when you come Sunday mornings? But how about when you leave the church and you're outside hanging out with your friends or with family? Does your manner of speech change? We can spend hours just on the power that words have, that the power the tongue has. You know, James spends a whole chapter, chapter 3, just on talking on how powerful the tongue is. But just for your reference, here are some verses that talk about the way we should and the way we shouldn't talk. Ephesians 4:29 says this: "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Another word for corrupt there is destructive. Is what you say destructive, or is it building up people? A couple verses later, Ephesians 4:31 says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you." And then in Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, we read, "But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." We are to be careful with what we say. You know, no one put it better than Christ. He said in Matthew 12:34, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, the mouth and heart are always connected. The two are always connected. Also in Matthew 15:11, Christ said, "It isn't what goes into a man that defiles him, but what? It's what comes out of a man that defiles him." We need to check ourselves on how we talk, not just inside the church, but outside the church. The second thing Paul says to be an example in is in conduct. You know, Paul here is referring to our behavior. How do you act when you're outside of church? When you're with family members or with friends? How do you act with them? You know, it is interesting to see that Paul here first mentions talk and then he mentions walk. So the question is, does your talk match your walk? Do they line up with one another? Are you only a hearer, but are you also a doer of the word? You know, people are watching you. They are constantly looking at us. They're just looking at us. Paul tells us that we are living epistles read and known by all men. You know, is your walk a good representation of Christ? Back home, a bunch of the young people, they wear these shirts and it says, "Rep the King." And it's just short for "Represent the King." And this morning, are you representing the King in the right way? You know, Paul makes it clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we are ambassadors of Christ. What is another word for ambassador? Representative. We are representing Christ here on earth. You know, I like what Peter says in his first letter, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, not just in some of it or in just this area, but in all your conduct. We should be examples of what a Christian is, of who Christ is, representing him. You know, the third thing that Paul tells us to be an example in is in love. Now, the Greek word for love here is agape. As we all know, it's that unconditional, sacrificial love. And the question is, are you loving like Christ loved? You know, Christ loved everyone. He never showed partiality. He didn't have favorites. He didn't like someone more than he liked someone else. He loved everyone literally to death. You know, John 3:16 tells us that clear. Paul, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, says, "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all." You know, the word increase here means to superabound. And the word abound here means to be over and above, to exceed in number or in measure. So is your love exceeding in number and in measure? You know, because Christ's love did. It was unconditional. It wasn't based on condition. He loved us so much that he gave his own life for us. Jesus in John chapter 13, verse 34 tells us, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." This is a testimony itself, because in the next verse he says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples if you what? If you have love for one another." That's what distinguishes us from the world, because there's so much hate. So much hate. Everybody hates everybody. Everybody wants to get even with everybody. You know, but Jesus calls us to love, you know, to have that sacrificial, unconditional love. The fourth thing we are to be an example in is in spirits. Now, this part was not in many of the manuscripts, and maybe your Bible doesn't have it, but we're gonna touch on this. The spirit of the man. This is what Paul is talking about. Now, this almost goes hand in hand with what we talked about first, which was conduct. Have you ever heard that saying, "That person has a wonderful spirit about him"? Have you ever heard something like that? You've probably said it yourself. You know, there's just something about that person that you like. You like hanging around them because they're doing nothing but encouraging, or they're just saying things that edify and just build you up. You know, that's what he's talking about. Are you likable? Are you lovable? Are you a person of integrity? No one wants to be around someone who's lemon-faced. In Spanish, we have a saying called cara de limón. And it's just like one of these, you know. Like yesterday, we went to Palma all day. And can you just imagine hanging around with someone who's just like this all day? You know, it's like not fun. You know, you're not going to be like, you're not going to want to say nothing to them because you're afraid they might blow up on you. You know, but that's what Paul is saying. The spirit of a man, are you likable? Are you someone who is always encouraging and edifying? Or are you someone who's always tearing down people? You know, we have to be examples in spirit. The next is to be an example in faith. Now, Paul is not referring to our belief, but it is important that we continue to grow and mature in our faith. And I encourage you to continue to grow in your faith and learn how to defend it. But what Paul is referring to here in regards to faith is our faithfulness, you know, our commitment. We are all committed to things in this world. Either it's a job, or if you're going to school, it might be a club or a sport. When I was in high school, I was committed to the music, to band. I was in band, you know, and we're all committed to something. But I ask you, how committed or how faithful are you to God and to the things of God, to the things pertaining to the kingdom of God? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, that it is required of all stewards that they be found faithful. And I don't know about you, but I want to be found faithful when Jesus comes back to get me, you know. I want to be able to say, "Lord, you know, I was faithful in what you gave me." And just be faithful to the Lord. So again, I ask you, how faithful are you to God? Are you only faithful when things are going good? Or are you faithful when things are going bad? Because it's so easy to be faithful to the Lord when everything is going smooth. There's no problems in life. Nothing is going hard. But once the hard times come, that's where the real test comes. How faithful are you to God in those valleys? Not just the highs of life, but the lows as well. You know, I ask myself the same thing. How faithful am I, not just during those times when I have support when things are going good at home, when my family's doing well. But what about those times when my family's not doing so well, when there's no support, when there's no money? How faithful am I? We have to be faithful to the Lord. The next thing is to be an example in purity. Ephesus was a center for sexual impurity at the time. And young Timothy was faced with temptation. So Paul writes to him. And he tells him, hey, you need to be an example in purity, but in mind, heart, and body. You know, and the same goes for us today. We live in an impure world. So to live pure is hard, if we can admit it. You know, there's so much around us that just makes us fall all the time to be pure. You know, but this is in regards to the inner man. That's what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about the inner man, your spirit. Are you pure on the inside, or are you battling with something in your heart? You know, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for what? For they shall see God. You know, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Paul put it so well, to live in the Spirit. And if you walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit, you will not feed your flesh. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So Daniel was someone of a good testimony. And so should we. You know, so do you have a good testimony? A good example? Are you living the way God wants you to live? Are you being a good Christian example? It was Gandhi who said this, I like your Christ. I don't like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. You know, when I read that, I was like, man, is that where it's getting to right now? You know, I even put it on Facebook. I was like, that's a Facebook quote right there. You know, and I was just like, is that what people are saying? And someone wrote to me, they're like, Christian, yeah, that's exactly what they're saying. You know, we're just lacking a good representation of Christ. And to finish this point, I ask you guys this. If you were to be arrested the minute you walk out of this building for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to condemn you? You know, do you stand out so much that there's plenty of evidence to say that you're guilty? Or do you just fall right into the world and there's no difference in your life? So Daniel was a man, someone of a good testimony. The second thing, if you guys want to go back to Daniel chapter 6. The second thing about Daniel's life that I want us to look at is that Daniel was someone of prayer. He was a man of prayer, and we see this in verse 10 of Daniel chapter 6. And this is what it reads. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Now, there are 4 things that I want us to look at in regards to Daniel's prayer life here. And the first thing is that Daniel prayed openly. We read that he prayed with what? His windows open. You know, and he didn't care who saw him. He didn't care who knew that he was praying. We read that the minute he knew that this edict was signed, he went straight to his room to pray. He didn't hesitate or think twice about it. The minute he knew that that edict was signed, he went straight to his room, started praying, and he didn't care who knew or who was looking. So the question is, do you care if people see you praying in public? You know, I deal with the youth back home at my church, and, you know, during their day, you know, they go to school, and then comes lunchtime. And, you know, they grab their lunch, whatever it be, and they sit down, right? And, you know, it's on, pray for your food. You know, pray for your food. And it's just a nice thing, you know, just a thing to do. And we always mess around with them, you know, because they'll go to sit down with their food, you know, and they'll have their utensils or whatever. And they'll be like, oops, I dropped my fork. And then they'll bend on me like, Lord bless this food, amen. You know, it's like, we can't be like that, you know. Who cares what people think? You know, if they see you praying, that could be a great testimony to them. Be like, oh, look at them. They're praying for their food. Maybe I should do the same thing, because you never know. But he prayed openly. The second thing is Daniel prayed faithfully. He prayed facing Jerusalem, but he prayed believing that God would hear his prayers. You know, someone once said, how many of our prayers don't leave the room because we don't have enough faith? You know, I've prayed before like this, God, if you're listening, you know, if you're hearing, you know, this is what I want to say. And, you know, I'm pretty sure maybe some of us have, maybe I'm the only one, But, you know, we've all prayed in a way that, you know, we feel like the Lord is not hearing, but we need to pray with faith. Pray with faith that the Lord will hear your prayers. You know, it's just people be like, who are you praying to? Like, I don't get that. It's like, it's okay. It's just, I get it. So we need to pray with faith. We need to pray faithfully. The third thing is Daniel prayed consistently. Scripture tells us that Daniel would pray 3 times a day facing Jerusalem. And how many of us have trouble just praying 1 time a day? You know, according to the Jewish calendar, the day began in the evening. So Daniel would pray in the evening, at night, and in the morning. You know, Daniel was consistent in his prayer life. And the fourth and final thing is Daniel prayed devotionally. Daniel just wasn't asking for stuff. Daniel was giving thanks and making supplication. You know, the purpose of prayer is to get God's will done and not our own will done. We've all heard that before. You know, the purpose of prayer is not to get our will done, but to get God's will done. But there are many who see Christ as some sort of genie, you know, where be like, gimme, gimme, gimme. You know, I want this, I want that. And when was the last time you just gave thanks for what you already had? You know, when was the last time you prayed for somebody else's needs? You know, Daniel prayed for the nation of Israel, but he also prayed giving thanks to the Lord. Now, prayer is a very important part of a believer's life. We all know that because it is our communication with God. It is our communion time with the Lord. And on many occasions, we see Christ himself retiring to go pray. You know, and this tells me one thing, and we've all heard this. If the Son of God, the Son of Man needed to pray, how much more do we need to pray? You know, Jesus, just the man, the God-man, needed to pray, and we're just Christian, a man, you know? And I need to pray because I'm so weak. We need to pray because we're so weak. Martin Luther King Jr. puts it like this. To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. You know, prayer is our life system. It's our life support. And if you're not praying, you're dead. You know, I don't mean to put it like that, you know, but it's so important that we spend time in prayer with the Lord because it's time where we get refreshed spiritually. It's a time where, you know, we just get to talk to the Lord. Something that just blows my mind away. It's just like the Lord knows everything, but he still wants to hear me talk, you know, and it's like, what do I have to say? You know, he knows everything, but he's like, I want to hear you. I just want to hear how your day went. You know, what's going on at home? And he just wants to hear us talk. You know, prayer is also so important because on many occasions, Christ puts temptation with praying. You know, what do I mean? On 3 occasions, Christ says that we need to pray so that we may not fall into temptation. You know, Christ knows how weak we are. Look at the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, Jesus is just praying intensely. And when he goes back to his followers, what are they doing? They're just sleeping. They're just snoring. And they're just having a siesta from prayer, you know. But it's so important that we pray. He says, watch and pray. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, but he also says, watch and pray lest you what? You fall into temptation. You know, the times that we feel like sleeping or that we're bored should be the times that we should be praying. You know, I remember Kevin in Colossians, he's like, I just want to turn off, just sit on the couch and just watch some TV. And then something happens and you end up falling. You know, it's so important that those times when we have nothing to do, you're like, what in the world am I going to do right now? Just take the time to pray. Take the time to open up your word and commune with the Lord. I guarantee you, he'll have something for you and he'll fill you up that day. But take the time. You know, I understand we need our physical rest. You know, but our spirit also needs a refreshment. You know, this last semester, it was probably the most intense semester I ever had because Thursday, I had class from 8 o'clock till 9:30 at night, just straight through. And when I would get to my room, be like, I'm going to bed, you know? And it's nice too because my bed's cold and my pillow's cold and it feels really nice, you know? But it's like during that day, I needed to spend time with the Lord. I needed to pray, Lord, can you please, please, please help me get through this day? And we need to be the same way because in this world, we're going here, there, left, right, everywhere. And it's so much commotion. And we've lost that a mindset of being still before the Lord. And I ask you guys this morning, you know, are you still before the Lord during your day? You know, Maybe there are times at night when you cannot sleep. You know, have you ever woken up like at 2, 3 in the morning? You're just like sleeping and, oh my goodness. You know, I'll look at my clock and I think it's 6 in the morning, ready to get up, and it's like 2, 3 in the morning. I'm like, what's going on? And then some people might think, well, I'm just hungry. You know, so I'm going to go to the fridge and see what I have to eat. But I guarantee you, it's not that you're hungry. It's that you're moving so much during the day that the Lord can't get a hold of you. But when you're finally still and when it's your time of rest, He'll be like, all right, Christian, it's time to get up because I need to talk to you about something. You know, we need to pray. We need to pray so much. We all face temptation and we all go through lots of stuff in life. But that's why we need to pray. Prayer is the way we will have victory over anything, over sin. It's the way that we will break any type of chain that the enemy might have over our lives. You know, Jesus said, pray lest you fall into temptation. I like what John Bunyan says in regards to prayer. He says this, prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. You know, and I just thought that was like, man, because when you sin, what happens? Oh, I shouldn't pray because the Lord's not going to hear me. And you just keep falling, you keep falling, and you keep falling. And you get to the point where it's like, you forget how to pray. But prayer will make you cease from sin. So awesome. We need to pray because it will keep us from sinning, or sin will hold us back from praying. We need to be like Daniel, who was someone of prayer. He's a great example of someone who prayed consistently, faithfully, devotionally. You know, it's rare, and I don't mean to put anybody on blast, but it's rare to find men at prayer meetings, you know, like dedicated. I love my guys, you know. But it's like usually when I go to prayer meetings, you know, it's mainly women. You know, and I it's from experience too at my church. You know, prayer meetings throughout the week. You know, I go in and majority of them are women, but we all need to be praying. We need to be prayer warriors as we all know the phrase. So Daniel was a man of testimony. The second was he was a man of prayer. And the final thing I want us to look at is that Daniel was a man of faith. And we can read this at the end of verse 23 in Daniel chapter 6. This is what it says. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in what? In his God. Daniel believed God would deliver him from the lion's den. You see, Daniel was not kept out of the lion's den, but he was kept safe in the lion's den. Nothing happened to him. And I just started thinking about that and how it's the same when we go through trials and hard times. You know, those trials that we face are meant to increase our faith. You see, a faith that isn't tested isn't genuine. Our faith is tested all the time. Maybe it was tested for you this morning. Maybe it was tested for you on the way to this church. Maybe it'll be tested when you leave this church this morning. Maybe your faith, not maybe, your faith will be tested later this week. And at those times, those valleys, those hard times, they're meant to make our faith grow strong in the Lord. You know, now God never promised that we wouldn't face hard times. Okay, turn with me to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, verse 2. This is what it says. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. If you have a pen or a highlighter, you need to circle when you pass. The two times that it says, when you pass. Okay, that guarantees us that you are going to go through hard times. Okay, but I want you to put an even bigger box around what it says next. I will be with you. You know, God is with us through those hard times. God is with us in the lion's den. You know, He's going to be with us during those hard times. David Guzik says this on this verse. He says, trials are inevitable. It doesn't say if you pass through the waters. It says when you pass through the waters. Trials are varied. Sometimes we face waters, sometimes we face rivers, and sometimes we'll face fire. But whatever the trial be, God is with us. You have to walk through water, I'm with you. You have to walk through fire, I am with you. If God is with us, then he is for us. And if he is for us, who can be against us? It's such a great promise that we have from the Lord. And it should bring great peace into our lives, knowing that we're not alone in this world. We don't have to go through life alone. We don't have to struggle by ourselves. You know, we have such a great God. We sing it all the time. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. You know, but do we really mean it when we sing it? You know, we need to think about it. Really think about it. You know, water, you turn into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. You know, who is like the Lord? There's nobody. You know, we have such a great God. And he's going to be with us whatever trial you go through. If it's water, river, or fire, you know, the waters won't overtake you and the fire will not scorch you. So we see that God promised that we would face hard times. But just like Daniel in the lion's den, God didn't keep them out of it, but he kept them safe. And he will keep us safe as well. You know, just so encouraging when you're going through a hard time. And I encourage you guys this morning, if you're going through anything, a hard time, if it's in a job or at home or in the family, be encouraged that you're not alone, that God is with you. You know, this morning in the Spanish service, one of the guys came up to me. He's like, man, I've been going through so much. You know, and he was praying in himself. He's like, Lord, I hope he gives me his notes. And I didn't even think twice about it. I just like, here you go. Take this with you and be encouraged. And he's like, you have no idea. I was just praying about that right now. Because I'm going through so much at home right now, and this very thing spoke to my life so much. And I was just like, praise the Lord. You know, it's so comforting to know that we have such a great God that backs us up. It's like that saying, don't tell God how big your storm is. Tell what? The storm, how big your God is. You know, so awesome to know that we have a God that's so big and that he will keep us underneath his wings. Now back to faith. Let's talk about faith a little bit. What is faith? You know, we all know the verse, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But then if you keep reading down, it says, but without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. The Christian life is all about faith. You know, but the great thing is that it isn't a blind faith. It's a blind that's directed by the Lord. You know, he grabs us by the hand and he's like, here, come this way. I'll lead you. It's so great to know that we don't have a blindfold on and have to walk through this world, but that we're walking alongside a great God. But Daniel isn't the only example of someone who lived by faith and not by sight. We have Abraham, known as the father of the faith. You know, he's a great example of one who stepped out in faith. You know, the Lord's like, go here. Can you imagine if Abraham would have said, why? You know, and how many times do we do that ourselves? You know, go here, do this. But why? Why me? It's like, just obey. Just do it. Imagine if Abraham wouldn't have obeyed the blessing, you know. All Daniel had was his faith. And sometimes that's all you're going to have is your faith. But who is your faith in? Is it in someone or is it in God? You know, the psalm says, blessed is he who puts his trust not in a son of man, but in the son of man. You know, we need to put our trust and faith in God and not in man. For us, this should tell us something. Do we have faith? And I'm pretty sure we all have faith here. But do we have enough faith to know that God will be faithful and come through all the time? Because sometimes it might seem like nothing is going on. You're praying and you're praying and you're praying every night. Lord, help me. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. And it might not seem like nothing's going on. But do we have enough faith to know that in the end, God will come through? I don't know who was it that told me. It's like, God has two speeds, slow and super slow, you know? And it's just like, sometimes it'll be like, when I feel like it, you know? But it's like, do we have enough patience and trust in the Lord that even though he might be slow or super slow, he'll be on time, you know? We need to have faith in God. Have faith in God, but all the times, not just when things are easy or when things are tough. So Daniel was someone of testimony. He was someone of prayer and of faith. And this is just scratching the surface. I'm pretty sure there's so much more we can just learn from the life of Daniel, who was such a great person in the Bible, a character. But my desire is that we dare to be Daniels, that we dare to be like Daniel, to be someone of a good example. You know, Daniel had a secular job, and many of us here work in the secular workplace. You know, we need to be great, good examples. You know, Daniel was someone of prayer. You know, he prayed 3 times a day consistently, faithfully, praying for, giving thanks and supplication. And we need to be the same way. We need to have the same mindset as Daniel. And Daniel was also someone of faith. Have faith in God at all times. You know, not just in the good times. Because the good times are good. They're fun. But when the tough times come, that's when the real test of discipleship comes into play. But we don't need to just look to Daniel, but we have a so much greater example, and that's Jesus Christ. You know, he's someone who's the overall example. He set the standard for each one of us. You know, Christ was a man of testimony. He lived everything he spoke. He said, love your enemies. He loved everybody. He said, turn the other cheek. Do not revile back. You know, and he did it too. You know, they're like, if you are the Son of Man, the Son of the living God, come down from the cross. It's like, you don't think he couldn't have done that? But he just said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. He prayed for them. And what can we say about faith? You know, then there's no one better than to put your faith in than Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. It's so great to know that we have a great God that will never leave us nor forsake us. He is with us through the tough and the good, and he's going to be with us till he comes back to take us home to live with him forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you just for your word and how living